Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Morning Coffee with Tracy and Friends. It's 12 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend and a beautiful day. And we know it's all good, but it's all God.
Praise God.
And it's all God. And with me this morning for the first Cup Cafe is Captain Forrester. And he is with us, and it's good to have him here.
Praise God.
God is just so good. And he came into my life through my radio program, actually. I was doing the first remote. And so we wanted to mark your calendars on next Friday. We're going to be at Starting Line at Barbershop. And
right.
We want you to come out. And we're going to have coffee and donuts and danishes. You'll be able to meet us, talk to us, talk on air, hang out with us. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about some youthful things. It's not going to be as starch as we are inside the studio. It's going to be a really good time. Hey, Captain, how you doing?
All right. That sounds wonderful.
Because we're going to talk about some issues that they talk about in the barbershop.
Okay.
We're going to do a barbershop talk.
Oh, that sounds real good.
And we're going to try to start doing this at least once a month, going into either a couple of salons or going into just hanging out with the folks. Kicking it and finding out what they're talking about. We're going to talk about men's health because, you know, men don't act right.
That's true.
And so we're going to talk about...
We have our issues.
Yes. We're going to talk about men's health. We're going to talk about women's health because we act like we put it all together, but we lie. And so we're going to do that. So how are you this morning, Captain Forrester?
I am fine. Praise God. God is a blessing God.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Even in the midst of the storm, he is a blessing God.
Yes, yes. That's the truth. He's constantly trying to mold us and get us in the direction he would have us to be if we would just let go sometimes or understand we don't really know anything.
So why do we just buck the system and just won't comply?
You know, I was reading a devotion the other day. And it came from John 6, and it talked about, you know, when the counselor, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. Now, when we're really under the tutelage, under the understanding of the Holy Spirit, then we kind of become who God would have us to be. When we're not, we kind of take things and run with it. You know, you learn one thing, you know what I mean? You get that, and you run with that one thing, even though there's so much more that God wants to do and give you. We run with that one thought. And sometimes, and most times, it's not a complete thought.
Why is that? I mean, we really don't act like we should.
No.
We do a lot of talking. We do a lot of yakking. No, we really. When the lover meets the road, and I am finding out even in my own life, the Bible says, when I would do good, evil is always before me. You know that's true?
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing is we serve a loving, forgiving God, and I think we use that to our detriment. You know, like, because we know God will forgive us, so we go ahead and do things because of that reason. Now, the Bible says, you know, we shouldn't do that, but we do. I think for the most part we do. We understand that God will forgive us. And we kind of say, God, Jesus, I'll be back. I got something to do right now. And that's really what the issue is.
You know, I'm dealing with yielding my will, and it's really amazing when you really talk about, you know, your will, your mind, your emotions, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you know, when you're strong, and when you're weak, you're weak.
Absolutely.
And conforming your will to the will of Christ. And I keep on going back to the cross. You know, when he was praying at the. At Gethsemane, and he said, Father, nevertheless. You know, do you not understand how much of a battle? That's why when he sweat like blood dripping.
Oh, absolutely.
It really overtakes you because your flesh can be so resistant.
Well, we're raised to be on our own. We're raised, we're taught to be literally taught. You know what I mean? And I remember even as a teenager or a young person saying, I can't wait till I get older. You know, we want to make those decisions, life decisions on our own. But we don't know enough. We don't understand that God really wants to use us in a blessing way. And I think we grow up almost thinking that God is Santa Claus. You know what I mean? People say, you know, I got blessed and I got a check and I got this and I got that and I got this. And when we don't get those, we have issues. Christ came here to do a job. A job. The Levites had a job. They always talk about the 12 tribes, but there was 13.
Right.
The 12 that they speak about got something. The Levites got a job. And we don't necessarily understand that. You know, we think on, ooh, you know, if I do this, I'm going to be blessed. Well, would you do it if you weren't blessed?
Right.
I mean, in the way that we think. Now, mind you, for me, blessed is peace here and everlasting life there. For me, those two particular blessings. That's all I'm concerned with. But for most of us, blessings are, you know, I got money in my pocket. Everything in my life seems to be going like it's supposed to be. I got a great job. You know, those kind of things.
And the song that I played coming in, and it's titled "It's All Good,"
mm-hmm.
but I know better. It's all God. You know, that right there. You know, I got money in my pocket. I got cars. I got a house, and I say it's all good. But you know, it's truly it's all God.
Oh, all God.
It's all
God. It all belongs to him.
Everything belongs to him. And we tend to not give him the respect that he deserves.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
We think, I did this on my own, and I have this on my own volition, and I, and we have no, and then I was saying something to someone else, and we were talking about being in control. We think we're in control of our own destiny. But one incident, one shift in momentum can change your whole destiny, and you'll find out you have the control of absolutely nothing.
I've never been, and let me put it this way, whenever I was in control, it was all out of hand. It got out of hand very, very quickly.
Do you mess stuff up too?
Oh, Lord.
Cause I could
most of my life is like that.
I can jack some stuff up. I really can.
Yeah. Most of my life has been like that. I mean, I wasn't always a pastor. I wasn't always doing what I'm doing now. And for most of my life, let's put it this way. I'm in God's army now. Not only was I in the devil's army before, I had rank. You know, I was a terrible person, an absolute terrible person.
You know, it's funny, you know, I have to say, and I've known you for a couple of years now, and you say that, and, you know, I tell my testimony, and people tell their testimonies, and it's like, do you really believe that they were really a bad person, that they did stuff like that? I mean, because you look at them now after they got cleaned up, but if you knew me when...
I'm trying to tell you, ain't God good?
Hey, oh, he's awesome. And I tell him, look, you didn't know, you had to know me. I mean, and people are like, I know, you don't know me.
No.
You need to pray for me.
I'm trying to tell you.
I tell him, look, I'm from the Sharon line. Don't trip, I'm from the Sharon line. And it's something that we have to really let people know. What you see is a reflection of what God's done in me.
Praise God.
But before I got started with the... Before you see me now, you should have seen me. Do you know me when?
I'm trying to tell you.
It's like
what from the grace of God?
Yeah, it's like nicknames. I'm serious. It's like nicknames. Have you seen nicknames? You know, it depends on when you know a person. Even
right.
You see people, then, my name is Charles. And some people, my name is Chuck. And then you see, oh, they call me Junior.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get a name like Pookie. And I go, oh, you had to know me when.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Like, who? Pookie.
Yeah.
your name is supposed to, yeah, you didn't, yeah, that was the name when I was out there. I'm like, what do you mean that was the name when you was out there? Well, see, if you knew me during this space of time, everybody called me Pookie. That was my street name.
Before God did a work and cleaned all this up.
That was BG.
Yeah. Before God.
Before God. That's BG.
That's the absolute truth. And I think when we get away from that, we're called the witness of people.
Yes.
And part of that is allowing folks to know who you used to be. I think the biggest mistake we make is not telling our kids who we used to be. Just like the things that we tell our kids, the medical things, you know, you got diabetes in your family.
Uh-huh.
You need to tell them, you know what I mean, because you can see you in them, even though they weren't around. Some of the things that you did and said and were, you can look in your child and see.
That's true.
And it's a scary, scary kind of thing, like, oh, Lord.
And let me say this, this also goes for your nieces, your nephews, and your godchildren. Because sometimes you see a trait in them that their parents don't see. And I wish parents would listen to people from the outside. You don't have to obey.
Right.
But you need to listen. Because you sometimes people can see things in your children or in you or in your environment that you may not be paying attention to. Mm. You know, I know of a young man, and he reminds me so much of me during that age. And I'm like, you know, y'all really need to put a little strap on him because he's sneaky and he's smart.
Yeah.
You know,
And you were blessed enough to get back because of God.
Yes.
And everybody because of multiple things.
And everybody doesn't make it.
Right. Right. So you need to be ever vigilant in looking at a child and saying, you know, who they are.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Everybody don't make it out.
No. And that's a shame because a lot of it's our fault, and it's not necessarily their fault.
That's true.
You know, when we see things like that, we need to address it right away versus saying, I hope it's going to go away. You know, that saying that people say, well, you just like your daddy or you just like your mama or whatever, that's really true. That, in the truest sense, that's very, very true. And we need to, like you said, we need to address that.
We need to address it. We need to reshape their thinking. The Bible says train up a child, not raise a child.
Absolutely.
And so in training for children and training for young people and training our environment, we have to make them rethink their decisions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I've made decisions in my life that have cost me dearly. I mean, absolutely dearly. And I lost time with family. And my son, for instance, when his first child was born, I found out about it through my mother. And the baptism was coming, and I came. And we were outside talking. He told me, he said, you will never, ever be around my child. And because I wasn't around him, because of the things that I did in my life. You know, I mean, it's different now. God has changed his heart. I didn't change it. You know, I didn't go overboard. Well, you know, you should forgive your father or this, that, the other thing. No, I didn't do those things. I really allowed God to work on him and not me. And God has changed his heart. You know, he calls me now. We talk, and he has two children, and you know, I see them. I'm in their lives, so it's a different kind of situation than it could have been, and it was only because of God, not because of me. So I think we really have to understand those things. That you make a Lot. The Bible does not say that Lot was a bad person.
No, it does not.
You know what I mean? But Lot made some bad decisions. His judgment was bad. The Bible, matter of fact, says he was a righteous man. What we have to understand is that you can have bad judgment that will cause, as a man, as the head of your family, as the steward of your family, you need to understand that decisions you make have profound effect on your family.
That is true. That is true. That is true.
Lot made a mistake in judgment, and his family got tore up, just completely tore up.
I'm finding that, you know, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him.
Praise God.
And acknowledge means to think. You know, we really miss thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about what we do. In all thy ways acknowledge God. Think to go ask God, what am I doing? Where am I going? What am I making the right decision?
Do I need this? What do you want me to be? What do you want me to do?
Because to acknowledge God, you've got to think about it. You've got to think to ask.
Right. Right.
And a lot of times we fail to realize it's important that we think.
I mean, even in reference to jobs, in reference to all things, you know, in Abram at the time, you know, every time he got read, even a turn in the road, he would build an altar and talk to God. You know, what do you want me to do? Which direction do you want me to go in?
And that's a very, very important part of just living this life.
Praise God.
And then getting an answer and listening to the answer that we listen to. That we get. You know, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm serious about it because, you know, it is very difficult to be always listening and always obedient and always conforming because a lot of times it is not our will, going back to what I said about the flesh.
Right. Well, it's not something that we want to do.
No.
You know what I mean? So we do things like, you know, oh, Tracy, you know, God's been asking me to do this, that, or the other thing. What do you think about that? See, I'm checking with other folks about what God is asking me to do. You know, and that's, no. You know, if God is asking you to do it, it can't be wrong. It might not be what you want to do, but it can't be wrong. And I think that's where we fall in trouble. You know, we do those things and almost like we think it's wrong, and it's not. Why would you question God? Why would you ask him, you know, why you want me to do this? And understand, even biblically, I mean, there's a lot of people who said, oh, Lord, man, why you, not this. Not, you know, Moses, listen, I can't do this. I can't talk to them people. I need some help. You need to send somebody else. But the cool thing about that, with Moses, is that, you know, God said, okay, you can take your brother with you. You know, and have him speak for you. But Aaron never spoke.
Never said a word.
Never said a word.
And then we also need to understand that we need to just take God at his word.
Yeah.
Really, take God at his word. If he said he's going to do it, it's going to get done.
Praise God.
Take him at his word. If he said it is. And trust that he's going to bring you out all right because things happen.
Right.
Life is going on, and I don't know about you, but life is really just overwhelming at times. And the number is 330-744-5117. If you're calling in on the internet line, the number is 347-945-5229. You know you're always welcome to call in and join in the conversation. Life is just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you sit back and look like, what in the heck am I going to do with this? I have some mail sitting on my desk that I've got to open this weekend. Because I just didn't feel like opening it up this week.
Okay.
You know what's in it. You know what's
in it. Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, I'm just going to hold you right there. Let all y'all come in together because you a build that I don't have.
Okay.
So let's just keep you right here at bay. And I know God's going to see me through it, but what am I going to have to go through to get through where I'm going through?
Well, I think we have a microwave mentality in a lot of cases. You know, it's not necessarily that we don't believe God. It's a question of he didn't do it in my time.
Well, he didn't got no clock. He ain't got
right.
No watch.
He ain't got no clock.
He won't get a calendar.
Right.
The papers say one date, and he will not get in the calendar for me.
You know, I want to see it. We almost treat God like he's Santa Claus. You know, it's like, okay, I want to go to sleep at night. I want to wake up in the morning and have whatever it is. I want to be able to pray that night, say, God, help me out, and wake up in the morning, and it's all gone. Well, it really doesn't work that way.
At all.
At all. It doesn't work that way. But we really treat God in that sense of the word like...
Like a genie.
Yeah. Like, you just need to do this while I'm asleep so that I don't experience any uncomfortability and everything is fine when I wake up. Well, no, because there's things that you and me have to do. And it's, you know what I mean? It's not. God shows in the Bible, doesn't say, but shows in the Bible, that he will do what we can't do. And there's a reason for that, because he wants you to understand it was him and not you. You know, there really is a reason for that. You know, him doing the impossible is really that reason. And to show you and everybody else that it was him and not you. I didn't do this on my own. I didn't get here by myself. I wasn't able to make the changes in my life until God made the changes in me. And that's very difficult for most of us to understand.
And it is true. And that's very, 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 very true. You know, and just relaxing. You know, I'm looking at stress now.
Okay.
And they say stress is a something that will kill you.
Right.
And we really understand that when you take things in your own hands and begin to manipulate it, it causes self-induced stress that you do not need. And it's almost like trying. I like to cook every now and then.
Okay.
And you know, when you have like something like gravy or making homemade barbecue sauce or making spaghetti sauce from homemade, you're always trying to doctor it up.
Right.
And you keep on putting stuff in the base.
Right.
And you keep on putting water in the base. So something that was supposed to come out with 2 gallons comes out with 20 gallons.
Yeah.
And then it might not be good in the end.
Okay.
Because you keep on playing and you keep on messing with it, you keep on doing it, and you wonder. And because you just won't go back to what the original intent was, because you had directions.
Oh, absolutely.
You have a mess on your hands, and you put a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of time in something that you had no business doing.
An enormous amount of effort.
Yes.
An enormous amount of effort, like you said, and stuck now.
And I have to throw this in. I've got to take a break in a minute, Captain, but I've got to throw the Gulf Coast in here. You know, the Bible says that, you know, if my people who are called by my name,
praise God,
would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, he will heal their sins, he will deliver their sins, and then he will heal their land. I wonder if anybody has asked God, how do we fix this mess? I'm gonna take a break on that one. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right.
Because you know only he can really stop an out of control situation.
Praise God.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Morning Coffee with First Cup Cafe. The number is 330-744-5117. Call in and join in the conversation. We talk about things of God for the first hour, and we let you know that there's a way out. We tell you our testimony. We tell you that it's things that are good, things that are positive, and things that are God. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much for listening to the radio station that's all talk. That's right, talk for our community. 1500 WASN.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-336-1989. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-336-1989. 1-800-336-1989.
Howdy. At Charlie Savings Barbecue, we believe in old-fashioned family values. Like at dinner time, the whole family gather around one table. Who's at the table is just as important as what's on the table. So have fun. That's what I had in mind when I built this fabulous dining room. It's got a real Southern feel to it. You'll feel like you're dining down in the French Quarter. I'm Charlie Savings, and I'll add a full cup of love. I'll see you down at the rest of the party.
Youngstown's most famous barbecue, Charlie Staples Barbecue, just west of YSU.
Hungry? You gotta eat. You gotta eat delivers from a variety of locations throughout the valley to the city of Youngstown. Call 330-743-8135. You gotta eat. Drop off catering, restaurant, and delivery service. You gotta eat. We deliver. 330-743-8135.
Enjoy
or go to www.yougottaeat.com.
Enjoy unlimited domestic calling on the Sprint network to any mobile, on any network, anytime, with Sprint Any Mobile Anytime. It's included on everything data plans, along with unlimited nationwide messaging, web, and more. Only from Sprint. Only on the Now Network.
Sprint Power Cellular Solutions located in the Southern Park Mall food court.
Coverage not available everywhere. Unlimited calling excludes roaming, international, and indirect calling. Subject to 2-year agreement fees, credit approval, and deposit. Other restrictions apply. See store for details.
We're back, and you're listening to Morning Coffee with Tracy and Friends. The number is 330-744-5117. This is First Cup Cafe, and First Cup Cafe is all about talking about the things of good, the things of God, the things that are great, and giving you the opportunity to wake up in the morning or to come home in the afternoon if you're listening to the rebroadcast, and to know that God still has your back, and to know that Jesus Christ still lives and with our in our heart, and to talk about these things, to give your testimony. Because we sometimes negate to give glory to the Creator of all things, the glory of who God is, and we just take Him out of the equation and think just because He's still good, we don't have to acknowledge Him for who He is. And so I ask people to come in with me. Captain Forrester's here with me this morning. I've got people from all over the country that wake up early in the morning to come and share with us and to talk with us about the greatness and the goodness of God, and to let you know that no matter what's going on in your world, going on in your life, God is still God, and He's there for you. All you got to do is reach out and ask, and reach out and say, Lord, I need you, and make Him Lord of your life, and I promise you He'll show up. Did I get that right, Captain?
Praise God.
Can you testify to that?
Amen.
Amen. You just do. When I think about the goodness of God, you know, I just get happy. I just get joyous.
Man.
When I see Him, His handiwork, and I watch Him cover stuff, I watch Him take care of stuff, I watch Him work on my behalf.
Praise God. And that's when you can sit back after a period of time, and it's only after a period of time that you can actually see it and understand and see that, you know, He's working and has worked in your life. You know, that's a wonderful thing.
Even when I didn't see Him working.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I actually thought He was making a mess.
Why don't you help me with this? Why don't you take this out my way? Why don't you do... Wait a minute, slow down. Let Him do what He has to do.
And I'm going back. I said before the break, I wanted to bring up the golf. Are we asking God for to give us the idea? I mean, I sat there last night and watched them beat up on BP and beat up on the Republican that got stupid in the middle of the BP hearing. That will bring up at 8 o'clock. But I'm like, have y'all stopped and said, hey God, listen, we didn't create a real big tar pit here. Can you help? Can you hook up the United States up?
Can you help us? Can you direct us on how to take care of this?
Yeah, people's lives are at stake. God, can you help us down here in the southern region?
I doubt if it's been done in that kind of context. I could be wrong, but I doubt if it's been done in that context.
I mean, I know that there's some people that are.
Yeah.
There are people praying down there in the churches and all that kind of. But my question is, has America gotten that to the point where we just forget that there's a God out there? And I heard President Obama talking about prayer, but I'm talking about God, the Judeo-Christian God.
Yeah. I think we have. We've moved so. And it's a funny thing, you know. I think the devil in a lot of ways has moved us to political correctness where we just don't say anything.
We need to become politically incorrect.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because in our political correctness, we lose in our favor and our grace. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Captain.
Good morning.
I was calling because I was wondering, I heard you mention the golf, and I said to myself, you know, I thought about this situation, how it's getting worse and worse, and you said something about asking him for help, but did we take the time to ask, is there a reason that you allowed this to happen? And, you know, sometimes God allows things to happen to get our attention or to show us something. It's not always just somebody's screw up. Maybe somebody screwed up, but he allowed it to happen because he's constantly protecting us when we don't know. There's a lot of things that probably could have happened and would have happened if God hadn't stepped in. But this is something that came to fruition, and possibly there's a reason for it.
And I agree with you on that. I believe there's a reason for it.
Absolutely.
I believe, and I believe there's a story inside the reason, but my question is, overall, even when you ask for help, you say, God, I acknowledge your omniscient, omnipresent, omniscient power, your sovereignty. I acknowledge who you are, and I'm coming to you because not only you might want to show me something, but help me with my unbelief. Help me get through what I'm. Help me, you know, see what I need to see out of this, so we can get through this before lives are damaged for years to come.
Well, in our personal lives, we definitely have to ask that question. But when you have something that's affecting so many people worldwide, then there's should be a lot of people, because we understand that America is doing a lot of things that, you know, just isn't right. But you can be rest assured that he's going to take care of his own, because he always does.
But even, and let me say this, and Captain, you can jump in. I want you to jump in on this. What I realize is it rains on the just as well as the unjust.
So I don't think the why is important. I think that the fact that we go to him and say,
"You go,
I have nowhere else to turn.
Right.
You are who I need." And praise
that's what
his
he's
name.
Looking for.
Yeah.
He's looking for you to, the Bible says, he's looking for acknowledgement of God.
Right.
It's like with Pharaoh. You know, they were trying to get out of Egypt so that they could worship their God.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge that he is the true and living God. And we have now diluted his position to the true and living God to a God of everything else.
Right. And I think that's the issue. It's like, okay, he's sitting waiting like, look at them fools there. You know what I mean? And won't ask.
Right.
Won't come to him.
Pride comes before destruction. And we're not acknowledging the sovereignty of God, because what we can do, the people of God can come together and pray and clog the hole.
Praise God.
I mean, I believe that. I believe the Bible. I believe God is God. He can do whatever he chooses. But we have become so arrogant in who we are.
That we think we can do it ourselves.
That's right.
That we don't need him. And that we won't acknowledge him in all that we do.
Yeah.
Well, with all the things that are happening in the world, I think it's clear that God is trying to get us to come to him. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening. And so he is trying to get our attention, and he's trying to turn us back to our first love.
But we're talking about a country. We're not talking about a people. He's trying to get the people to turn back. But remember, the country was founded on Judeo-Christian ideals.
Absolutely.
Judeo-Christian. We were founded on these ideals. And we have gotten to the place where we're so polluted, you can't find the Judeo or the Christian ideals anywhere in our fabric, because we're becoming a very unmoral society in all that we do. We don't even teach the golden rule anymore. We don't let our kids pray. We can't sing a Christmas song. We don't say the name of Jesus. You can't have a manger. And now we're getting ready to open up our don't ask, don't tell in our military and then send them in the war and think that we're going to win.
Well, the thing about it is it's scriptural.
Yeah, it's scriptural.
Is this the time where we knew it was coming?
Pencil, did we know that it was going to come? We didn't. You remember, the Bible speaks prophetically. It doesn't.
And what does that mean?
It speaks in a. It speaks in a in a way that what you think in your pea brain, because remember, your thoughts and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. These are our ways, His ways. So when we think something or we see something, we think it's going to become one way. That doesn't mean it's going to become the way that we thought.
Well, when I made that statement, what I was saying is that there's a lot of things that's already been prophesied about the world today that's in the Word of God.
Correct, but America's nowhere in the world. America's not.
Guess what?
America does not show up in the Word of God.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No, again, it's people assuming certain things.
Right. But
that this means this or that means this. I mean, but the Word of God really says that there's things that we won't know. There's things that we won't know.
Right. And
well, it said, well, to my understanding, he wouldn't know the time that he was coming.
That's correct. But him coming.
But the signs, there would be wars and rumors of wars and all earthquakes and, you know, all kind of things in the season. You wouldn't know season for season. He didn't
well,
wasn't
we're
specific.
There. I mean, we're definitely there.
All right. So it did tell you what was going to happen.
We're definitely in the end days.
Yeah.
We are definitely there, but in the end days, as we're talking about America, because remember, the end days is not just for America. The end days is worldwide. It's global.
Why wouldn't America not be in there?
I can't answer that, baby, but it ain't in there.
No. Why wouldn't it not be in there? And this is the greatest country and one of the strongest and greatest country in the world.
Captain, I can't answer that.
I don't have an answer.
I can't answer that.
The names have
changed. But we're not there.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the names have changed?
No. I kid you not. There's a book called, and I'm actually trying to, his name is David Jeremiah, and the book is called Where in the World Are We? And I'm actually reading the book right now. America is nowhere. We talk about Russia. They talk about Europe. They talk about the Middle East. America, the United States of America, is nowhere mentioned in the Word.
Now, there's some assumptions.
Maybe it's a different name.
There's some assumptions where they think we are or what we think they're going to think is going to happen. But
right.
as far as Gog and Magog, that's not America.
No,
and so
what about Babylon?
Babylon's Middle East.
Babylon actually is a real place.
That's true.
It's not, you know, it's not it's something that we assume because of power that it is. That's really not that is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Babylon actually exists. Babylon, in actuality, is
Iran.
Iran.
Yeah, right. Iraq.
You know what I mean? It's literally where that is.
That's yes.
In the Book of Esther, that king. It was the king, basically, of Iran. It just it became a huge thing because he took over everything he could possibly get to. But that's really the area where that is.
And that's what they're fighting over. You have to understand the Middle East and what's going on over there and the war. And America is a part of this, but the Bible does not make mention of it.
Right.
And we don't know where it plays in the part of this. They're surmising of it, but no one knows.
Right. You know. you got to understand where it started at was Kuwait. In Kuwait,
yeah.
If you look and you really and you read the Word of God, Kuwait is the general area of where the Garden of Eden was.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So you got to understand that in terms of they're trying to get this land because it's so fertile, and it's all these things that go on. You know what I mean? So that's in there, but the United States, quote unquote, is it like that?
And only that, and in the spiritual, you have to look at this. Right now, we're in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and Iraq, I believe, is Kuwait. Am I correct, Captain?
Iran, at the bottom of Iran and bottom of Iraq, yes.
That's part of Kuwait.
Yeah.
Ben's jumping into it. I know Ben knows that.
It's just hard for me to believe that a country that is so influential over the world and has such an impact over the world is not in the Bible
Study, if you study history at all, you've seen countries, huge, huge countries that came and it owned and it basically considered themselves owning the world and disappeared.
Right.
But I'm just saying, I don't know whether the name has changed or whatever, but it's just hard to believe that a country this strong and this powerful and this connected to so many and has done so many devastating things to surrounding countries that it is not mentioned.
I understand your devastation of it, but I want America to know you ain't in it. Now, we don't know where we play in this, but it is true. It's not there. And I wish I could change and tell you I could find it, but, you know, we surmise where they may be. Some people think that America is going to be taken over by the European Union. Some people think that, you know, something else is going to happen. They think that America is left out because it is a Judeo-Christian that's going to be the witness of the world. They think that people here are going to be raptured out because they believe that in Jesus Christ. But overall, in the Word of God, in the Bible itself, America is not made reference to.
Well, I do know this. I know people have, and I've come to that conclusion, people have their different understandings and different beliefs and different interpretations, but there's one thing I know for sure. If you ask him and ask him to give you his truth,
yes,
he will give it to you.
And
there's
I tell
no,
you that it's true.
There's no...
And he's still
going
to tell you that America ain't in the Bible, and he ain't going to reveal that to you because we ain't the only ones that's asking.
I'm not talking about America being in the Bible or anything like that.
We have to understand. We have to just trust him. The mysteries of God, because I don't plan on being here anyhow. Because when the trumpet sounds, I plan on having my bags packed and ready to go. Because the rapture's coming.
Time to go.
It's time to go. So I got my flight insurance, I got my boarding pass, and I'm out of here. So they can figure it out when they get there. But I will say this. In the end, the mysteries of God will be revealed. And we will know. But we don't have to know everything to know that God wants us to be reconciled unto himself through Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
That's just real.
And that's everybody.
And that's everyone. It too, because hell is being enlarged because hell was not made for us. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that God is God, and there's only one way to God. And in him there is no regret. And we need to trust him. But as Americans, what's going on in the Gulf, we need to quit being so arrogant and cocky and humble ourselves and realize that the same God that got us this far is the same God that can take us on if we will just acknowledge him as God. And we don't want to do that.
No.
And that's just how it is.
We think that all this came from us. You know, I made this, I did this, I created this. We say those words. You see those words every day in the paper. You see those words in our history. We think we did this.
We didn't do anything. I don't.
You might not, but we're talking about the arrogance of America. We are an arrogant, cocky country. You can see yesterday.
No, we are evil and corrupt people.
You can see yesterday when we were they were testifying before the Senate yesterday. And the House of Representatives, you could see the arrogance of America. And when we come back, I'm at the end of the day, and I'm going to thank Captain. You know, you're more than welcome to hang out with us, Captain.
Yes, ma'am.
But, you know, I'm sitting here, and I'm watching these people yesterday in these hearings, and we really, I mean, I'm watching the little British man turn red, but he ain't said a word. He said, I'm sorry when I got there. And I'm watching him, and I'm going, and we are blowing off at the horn like he can go down there and put a cap on the. And it's actually our fault that we allowed them to have the leeway to do what they do. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how they don't even pay taxes to America. They don't. We don't even get any revenue from the oil that they pull off the shores. Not like they used to. Not only that, we deregulated them to regulate them. So what we needed to regulate them on, we didn't regulate them when we got done.
Now,
we deregulated the regulator.
Can I call a small controversy?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a Reaganite kind of plan?
That was a Reaganite kind of plan, but it happened under Bill Clinton. How you like that? Bill Clinton did it.
So we can cause a real big controversy when you come.
When we come back, we can just fight.
All right.
Ben's got his computer. We can fight.
All
but
right.
It's a mess. I love you guys. The weekend we will be we will be back in a few minutes, and we'll go into our second cup, and we'll be doing morning coffee with Tracy and friends. And it is open mic Friday. And we'll catch up on everything that we missed during the week. The number is 330-744-5117. Don't forget, on next Friday at 8 o'clock, we will be at the Starting Lineup Barbershop. And it is on the corner of Market and Midlothian. And we will be there. And is it Midlothian Boulevard? Yeah. And we will be there just out. Ben will be there. Are you coming, Ben?
Yeah, no, I'll be